From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. While the Environmental Protection Agency is racing to get last-minute rules out the door before the Obama administration leaves office January 20th. Now, EPA is moving so fast to get the rules done before President-elect Donald Trump takes over that American Farm Bureau and other groups are raising a new alarm. Paul Schlegel is with the American Farm Bureau.
I think there's a general sense of apprehension that they're trying to put as much in the pipeline as they can before the change in administration. We just saw recently that they announced finalization of the certification and training rule, which has been in the works in some time.
And would place extra pesticide training and compliance requirements on farmers and state agencies. Now, American Farm Bureau and the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture have petitioned EPA Chief Gina McCarthy to delay another farm worker safety rule, claiming it violates federal law and there's not enough time to implement it by the effective January 1st start date. Relations have been strained for years between agriculture and McCarthy, who told ag senators the year after being confirmed.
Let me just say it clearly. There's a distrust between agriculture and EPA.
And really, the Obama administration has now broken the record for regulations, writing more than 83,000 pages of new rules so far this year. Now, the incoming Trump administration is looking at rescinding close to 50 economically significant rules with a cost of at least $100 million each. Schlegel says the new president, with a stroke of a pen, can rescind exclusive orders or memoranda like the one requiring agency environmental mitigation planning before issuing permits. Recently finalized regulations could be reversed by Congress.
The Congressional Review Act does reach back 60 days. Now, it's important to remember that those 60 days are not calendar days. Those are legislative session days. So it does not simply go back to, say, November. It can reach back into, I think if I remember correctly, into the late summer.
Now, older rules like the controversial Waters of the U.S. on hold in courts could be replaced or rescinded through a regular rulemaking process. Lawmakers could also defund the rule. Congress lacked the votes to override President Obama's veto last January of a WOTUS repeal bill. Well, we're going to take a break here. Now, you heard in the markets that hogs are doing well as far as the prices are concerned, still not where they were. But USDA Hogs and Pig Report says the total swine inventory on December 1st was 71.5 million head. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that hog and pigs report. And I'd be prepared to, when you go to the grocery store, got a hunch you could save money on pork. That's coming up next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. And we mentioned before we took the break, we're going to come back and talk about that hog and pigs report. Came out Friday afternoon. Now, the total swine inventory December 1st was 71.5 million head. Now, that's 4% above last year and a record high. Now, the breeding herd inventory was just over 6 million head. That's up 1.5% from last year. The market hog supply at 65.4 million head was up 4% from December of 2015. Now, Iowa Farm Bureau Director of Research and Commodity Services David Miller expects the productivity gains seen in the swine industry will actually continue.
I think we continue to get advances in genetics that are able to push this 1.5% gains that we're seeing in both litters per sow, the better return rates on breeding. I think relative to pigs per litter, that's on a march upward that other than when you get distinct interruptions such as a PEDV or something like that, that we're seeing sustained gain.
Now, with the large supplies, there is concern about packer capacity and the industry's ability to handle these numbers. Packer capacity is generally seen at 2.5 million head per year. Purdue University ag economist Chris Hurt does not expect packing capacity to be exceeded in 2017.
We go back and look at average weekly slaughter in the first quarter of 16. That was about 2.25 million head on average. If we increase that by 4%, we're up to 2.34, so still under that 2.5. Second quarter, we have really seasonally drop in slaughter numbers anyway. In 2016, second quarter, about 2.14 million head per week. 4% higher, obviously, keeps us below those thresholds. So I think that's one of the important things we're going to be looking at, bringing on more processing capacity in the second half of 2017.
Now, hog markets are expected to be under pressure to begin this week, impacted by the surprising USDA report. Sterling Market President John Nalivka says the entire protein complex is dealing with big supplies.
One thing, put another perspective on this, it's not just pork that we're producing more of, it's total meat. And, you know, we're not only expanding the hog herd, we've expanded the beef herd pretty aggressively. And with these lower feed costs, we're certainly expanding our poultry production.
Now, the Pork Checkoff hosted a media briefing after the release of that USDA report on Friday. Well, the incoming Donald Trump administration has a ban in place preventing lobbyists from working in the administration. Now, Chris Novak, National Corn Growers Association CEO, says that's going to present challenges. Novak tells Brownfield that lobbyists are important because they know the ins and outs of Washington and how it works to get things passed. Now, he says it's simply a lot of missing expertise that'll make it more challenging for the Trump administration to succeed. Novak says Trump will need people that know how to build consensus to get things done because of the slight majorities that Republicans hold in the new Congress. The Republicans do have a 58-42 majority in the Senate. But with the new filibuster laws, sometimes it takes 60 votes to get things done. Now, that means President-elect Trump is going to have to work with Democrats. That's going to mean negotiation as well as compromise. While an Iowa State University study suggesting that turbines used to capture wind energy may have a benefit on crops in the fields, Gene Tackle, a distinguished professor of both agronomy as well as geological and atmospheric sciences, says wind turbines dispersed throughout a field may create air turbulence that helps plants by affecting different variables, including air temperature and carbon dioxide. We'll take a break here. And when we come back, have we got an ag secretary yet? Oh, no, we don't. We'll talk about that next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot. Just a little snow up there, over 40 inches since it started snowing this winter, and that's just been over a month. Also on Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. While Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller is the next candidate to meet with Trump transition team officials this week. Politico's Morning Agriculture Report says Miller may be a bit of a long shot, but he'll meet with incoming White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus and Chief Strategist Steve Bannon at Trump Tower this week. Now, reports say Miller has spoken with Priebus multiple times on the phone, leading some to speculate he's still in the running. Now, in the meantime, former Texas Ag Commissioner Susan Combs met with Vice President-elect Mike Pence last week, but the meeting only lasted about 20 minutes. Politico says Pence is expected to have a big say in the pick for Ag Secretary, so they think Combs may not be a serious candidate. Now, if that's not enough, anti-abortion groups in Texas are trying to sink her chances for the job by highlighting the fact that she's supported abortion rights for most of her career. House Ag Committee Chairman and fellow Texan Mike Conaway had been lobbying the Trump transition team on her behalf. Well, also, as we talk about what's going on in agriculture, all available ag lending money the government had was given out to farmers during the last fiscal year to help them through the worst economic downturn in decades. An Associated Press article says, despite that, no one who qualifies for a farm loan will be turned down over the next 4 months, thanks in part to an unusual item recently passed by Congress. The budget patch gives the U.S. Department of Agriculture the wherewithal to meet an expanding demand for farm loans by using future funding. USDA lending has no limit between now and April 28th, which is a victory for farm groups who had been urging Washington to head off a potential ag lending crisis. Crop and livestock prices are pushing the nation's farmers to the limit, and producers are turning to lenders for help in staving off disaster. The increasing demand pushed the Farm Service Agency to wind up $137 million short in direct and guaranteed loan funds through the end of the most recent fiscal year. Now, the American Bankers Association Center for Agriculture and Rural Banking expects most producers to be able to hold on at least one more year because bankers can restructure their loans and add in some federal guarantees to commercial loans as well. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk Farm Bureau one more time as we're going to talk with Paul Schlegel. He is the Director of Environment and Energy Policy with American Farm Bureau. I know we talked to him earlier, and we're going to talk to him again right after we take a break for these words. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, it is that time to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture. Well, in early January, lawmakers are likely to consider legislation that would reform the rulemaking process for federal agencies, such as the Environmental Protection Agency. AFBF Director of Environment and Energy Policy Paul Schlegel says recent EPA actions highlight the need for change.
We, Farm Bureau, have been encouraging very strongly Congress to take up the issue because our experience with the waters of the U.S., the WOTUS rulemaking, show us that we need to have changes in the system to make sure that stakeholders like farmers and ranchers are protected when these rulemakings take place.
He says EPA's overreach and scare tactics need to be checked.
We had a circumstance in that particular rulemaking in which the agency effectively was lobbying itself. The way they used social media went over the line as to what we thought was a fair and objective approach to the rule. One of the things we have recommended to the House Judiciary Committee when they take up legislation is to address this question.
Now, he says Congress has an opportunity to improve the rulemaking process in a way that promotes accountability and is fair.
One of them is the mitigation policy that was proposed by the Obama administration. That's something that the Trump administration, because it's strictly an executive order, they can do that on the day the president comes in. We're hopeful there will be a little bit of a change in perspective in EPA as to how they're looking at re-registrations of pesticides. So there's actually a number of things that we want to see addressed.
American Farm Bureau Federation Director of Environment and Energy Policy, of course, Paul Schlegel. While Brazil's soybean harvest is just underway in Mato Grosso, getting started a few days before Christmas. Pro Farmers First Thing Today says soybean harvest in Paraná should get going within the next 10 days. South American crop consultant Mike Credonia notes the rainfall increase during early December, leading to concern that wet soybean yield weather could cause disease issues like mold, potentially knocking down yield numbers. However, he left the Brazil soybean yield forecast at 103 million metric tons and the corn projection at 86 million metric tons. Heavy rains fell in Argentina through the weekend, totaling 2.5 to 4 inches combined over the period. Much heavier rains, totaling up to 8 inches, fell in other parts of the country, prompting some flooding concerns. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.